You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today, we're talking to Reinhard Harrison. He is a high schooler who is super talented. He's been really talented for a long time, whether that be youth racing, all the way up until, you know, now he's a junior in high school. He's run 4:01 for the full mile, so he is currently on the trek to breaking 4 minutes in the mile as a high schooler. Wow. He's had multiple sub-4 attempts, and today we talk about his training regimen, how it's adapted over time, racing strategy, mindset, plans for the future, whether that be pro, college running, and a lot of other stuff. He answers your listener questions. He also has a YouTube channel, so he's a fellow YouTuber, I will say. A little bit of housekeeping. If you love the podcast, please, please, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps me out so much so that I can get higher profile guests for you guys on, because it just establishes credibility for the podcast. And it literally takes 15 seconds. I'm not even exaggerating. It takes 15 seconds. It's super easy and it really helps me out a lot. So if you've already done that, I appreciate it. Or just if you spread the word with your friends about the podcast, that means a lot too. Or just honestly listening every week means a lot to me as well. So yeah, thank you guys. And let's get straight into today's episode. All right, Reinhard, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast. You've been a very highly requested guest, so
yeah.
I'm excited to have you on. To get started, do you want to just give us a little bit of a rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, for sure. So, what's up? I'm Reinhard Harrison. I'm a high schooler. I go to school at Nice High School in Ponte Vedra, Florida. I run the, I guess my favorite event would be the mile. I run a 401. I was able to do that as a sophomore. I'm now a junior. And yeah, I run anywhere from the 800 to the 3200.
Yeah, and you just started a YouTube channel not too long ago too. So
yeah, and I started
pretty. YouTube. Now you're a famous YouTuber as well. To add that to your resume. Yeah. Well, I'm very curious as to how you got your start in running.
Yeah, so I actually started at a pretty young age. My parents were both runners. Like they did it. That's how they kind of met each other and stuff like that. So I guess my dad had started a youth club team. Like he took over the head coaching position. And just from there, I was doing like races. And I think my first national race was when I was 8, because that's when you're able to race national meets and stuff. So yeah, I've been running for a while now, basically just through my parents and a club team. I've enjoyed to, you know, love the sport.
Yeah. When you were 8, were you like loving it, or were you like dreading it? Because that's a very young age to start. Even I didn't start that young, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I would have dreaded it if I was doing like a lot of like mileage and stuff like that. But fortunately for me, all that I would do is like show up to practice, and half the time we were just on the swings, and the most we would run in a practice was probably like 800 meters, and we would just like sprint up and down the field a couple times and then we were done. So I think I always had fun just because I had a lot of friends that did it with me, and we weren't like training like intense or whatever. So the only thing that was hard, I guess, were the races.
Were you good? Like right from the start?
Yeah, I was pretty good. I won my first ever national race. I did. I won the, like, I think I was 8 and I won it in Baltimore. I won the 800 there. So I like, okay, was a national champion or whatever for like 8-year-olds. So I was pretty good, yeah.
So you crossed the line when you're 8. Like, what were you feeling? Like, did you realize that that was that good?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I just beat like a bunch of, I guess, everyone around the nation. I mean, there's not a lot of 8-year-olds that run track that early. But yeah, I knew that I was going to definitely stay with the sport, most likely.
And like, what was your mindset on race day? Like when you were that young, you stepped to the line, what are you thinking?
I think it was just kind of to beat everyone that was on the line with me. I didn't really even, you know, you're 8 years old, you don't have too much of a strategy. It's kind of just sprint out and, you know, hopefully you win. So
yeah. How has like your training adapted since then? Because obviously like that's a big progression. You're going from 8 years old to, what are you now, 17?
Yeah, I'm 17. I just turned 17.
So how has your training progressed over the years? And who like broke the training when you were that young?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so originally my dad was my coach. Didn't really do too much. Like I said, I think when I actually took, I had been running since, you know, obviously I was 8, even earlier than that. But when I got to middle school, I had some pretty bad like growing pains in my heel area. I think like a couple of runners have had to deal with this, and like people that are non-runners, it's just called Sievers. But for me, I went from like a size 8 shoe to like a size 12 in under like 2 years. So it was pretty bad. So I actually wasn't even able to run 6th or 7th grade. So I got like a massive break there. And before that, I really had not been doing too much, like maybe 5 miles a week at max, just because, you know, I was doing 200 meter repeats most of the time.
Yeah.
And then when I got to 8th grade, I won the middle school state championships for Florida and like set the course record there and stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, like I'm getting really good at running again. Like, I'm going to stay with this. So my dad was still my coach at the time, and I hadn't really been doing anything too serious, like 15 miles a week at most there. And I got a coach named, his name's Tom Schwartz, that summer, going into summer, for the AAU like nationals or whatever. It was like my last time I was ever going to do AAU, and my whole, like, I guess like my dream was, especially as a kid, because I grew up doing those races, was just to going from just all the way from the 800 all the way up to the, I think it's the 3K you run at nationals. I wanted to win all three. So I wanted to win the 800, 1500 and 3K all in 1 week. And I was actually able to do that. And that's when I realized like, wow, this guy took me to like the next level. I'm going to stick with him. And I've stayed with Tom Schwartz from 8th grade all the way through now. So yeah, it's been really fun. I've been able to do some really cool things under him.
Does your high school coach just let you train with Schwartz?
Yeah, so that was one of the big reasons, like, I really like Nice. My coach, I have two coaches, Coach DeVos and Coach Schwartz, and they work really well together. And Coach Schwartz gives them some ideas, and he takes those ideas and puts them into my training. So it's been really good. They work really well together.
Yeah, that is really good, too, because you, especially when you're at that level, like, you're not – a lot of coaches don't know how to handle that, you know? Because most aren't experienced in handling people that are going to break four, you know?
Yeah. I think with him, he's like, he's willing to learn, and he knows that Tom is a really, really good coach. And, you know, if he knows he's a really, really good coach, why won't he, you know, why wouldn't he want to learn some things from him?
So yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, exactly. How have your parents like influenced you in this process? Cause obviously they got you into running. Like, are they super encouraging? Like, what is their role in all of this?
Yeah. I guess a lot of people think that my parents could be like kind of hard. I know parents that are like that, but with them, they know that the only, if I don't go out and like do a run that day, you know, the only person I'm hurting is myself. So they'll be there like by my side. Like my dad will be out, you know, when I go to the track late at night or something like that, running a workout, he'll be out there to call my times and stuff like that. And, you know, my mom's the number one, you know, supporter at my races. But yeah, they're always there with me.
Okay, this is so random, but talking about like going to the track at night, someone also asked this like in the little question box on Instagram, why do you like run at night? Like, I just watched one of your long runs and you were literally finishing and it was pitch black outside.
I don't really know. I think I've always, well, one, like Florida's actually pretty hot, you know, everyone knows that Florida's a hot state, and I just don't like running it when it's hot out. And I'm not like a morning person, so I'm not too good at waking up and doing runs in the morning. So then it gets hot during the day, so then I just wait until it's night out most of the time. And then the other times I really just procrastinate until the very end of the day, and then my dad's finally like, oh, like, have you done your run yet, dude? And I'm like, he's like, all right, you should probably go out there. And I was like, okay. So yeah,
if you don't like running in the morning, you're gonna love college.
Yeah, I know. I'll get used to it you know, soon, but I should probably start getting on some sort of routine this summer.
Yeah, I mean, some colleges aren't that bad. Like, some run at like 6 a.m. and then some, I mean, when I was in college at Oregon, we ran at 9 a.m, which wasn't terrible. I don't like running in the morning either. Like, 4 p.m is usually my sweet spot, but I'm not doing that much in college. So
yeah, I think my stomach just gets pretty upset if I don't, because I don't have too much to eat, and like I'm trying to wake up the latest I can possibly wake up in order to get to practice on time. So half the time I'm not even able to like digest my food and stuff. So there's not too many good things that comes out of that, but
yeah. We'll figure it out.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So obviously you were like really good in eighth grade. Were you pretty confident going into high school? Cause that's like a big leap just going into the big high school realm. And obviously there's a lot of good high schoolers these days, but what was your confidence like?
I think with me, I just wanted to go out and compete with the other guys out there. I didn't want to, my confidence was definitely higher than like, you know, most people would be, but I guess just going into it, I wanted to have fun. That was like my number one thing.
Yeah. I mean, and you, I feel like you ended up doing really well. Like, how was your freshman year overall? Was it a lot different than the previous years of AAU racing?
Yeah, I ran like the freshman class record for Florida. I ran a 4:12 1600 my freshman year, which is really solid. And I think from there, that's when I was like, you know, the mile is my event, yada, yada, yada. So I definitely decided to try to get better at that.
Yeah. I mean, you've obviously run 4:01, which is so good. And you've had quite a few, or has only been one sub-4 attempt, or have you done it multiple times now?
I think whenever I run a mile now, everyone's like, oh, sub-4 attempt, but it's not always like that, but yeah.
Yeah, do you go into every race, like, being like, I'm going to run sub-4 today?
No, I think that's more like the media that kind of does that, but for me, like,
get the clicks.
I think there was, like, a 1600 that I was doing at some home meet. And I think the second fastest kid in that race runs like 4:20. So obviously I'd have like no one to chase or anything like that. And there's these kids wishing me luck on Snapchat before the race. They're like, you know, good luck your sub 4 attempt today, stuff like that. And I was like, no.
No.
But yeah.
Do you like racing alone, or do you prefer like a big group of people?
I prefer a big group of people, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's a lot easier, especially when I was doing those fast miles over the summer my freshman year. I had people that were always faster than me in those races, and that definitely pushed me into like the next gear almost.
Yeah. When you ran the 401, was it like a time trial type situation, or was it a full on like race with a ton of other people around?
It was a full on race with a lot of other people. I think it was at like Music City. I think it was in Tennessee. Nashville? Yeah, yeah, I think. Yeah.
When was that?
That was back in early August, I think.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company. You can enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness. Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped, so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or just looking to eat healthier, there's a range of recipes to suit any kind of diet or preference. You guys already know I absolutely love Green Chef. It makes cooking so easy, you know. Lunches and dinners are probably my least favorite meal of the day to like plan, so Green Chef makes it really, really easy because the ingredients are already prepped for me and portioned, and all the meals taste so good. Like, it's definitely way more flavorful than my normal meals that I make. They're also really quick. They like take 30 minutes to make, which is way less than any other meal I spend time cooking. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. So I like to switch between the brands just depending on how, you know, my taste buds change over time. If you guys are interested, go to greenchef.com/90coldbrew and use code 90coldbrew to get $90 off, including free shipping. That is greenchef.com/90coldbrew and use code 90coldbrew to get $90 off, including free shipping. Now let's get back into the episode.
So a lot of people ask when the next sub 4 attempt is. Actually, yeah, not so, just your next mile race, but when is your mindset sub 4?
Well, I was playing football a couple weeks ago and I like had messed up the outside of my shin. So these past like 5 weeks, I haven't been doing any running. I've just really just been aqua jogging, which I don't think is too bad for me because I've been training for so long. And I think sometimes you almost need like a reset to kind of like get everything back together and get fresh into a new training block. So I actually just raced this past weekend and I obviously didn't do as like well as I thought I want like was gonna do just because I hadn't run in so long. But now I'm starting, probably next week I'll start the like a big training block, and maybe in August I'll go for something fast.
So how do you come back? Like, how do you bounce back from a race that maybe isn't so good? Or like, I watched your video on the sub 4 attempt, like running the 406. Mm-hmm. How do you bounce back from that? And what is your mindset? Like, you finished the race, you didn't accomplish your goal. What are you thinking?
I think at the end of the day, it was really nice, especially after my 406, when I didn't do what I wanted to, just to have like my friends and family around me to joke around and stuff. We were laughing about, I think they put up a mileslip post and right away, like everyone was bashing me in the comments and we were laughing about that. They had to turn off the comments on there. But I think that's like the only thing I remembered. I just remember laughing a lot and not really caring too much because I know I have so much time to do something like that. And at the end of the day, it's me that should care and not really anyone else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good mindset to have. And obviously you're in the public eye now, so how do you deal with hate comments if you get them? Obviously you got a little backlash on that, but anything else?
Half the time I'll just ignore it, but like if there is something, you know, I'll just like mess around. But you know, I don't really care too much. They can say whatever they want to say at the end of the day. It's their word, not mine.
You can brush it off easily, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous having a lot of people like looking at you?
To be honest, not really. But you say that, and like before the race or something like that, you will get a little nervous. Like I might be saying that right now, but I might feel a totally different way before I race. So I don't know. I'd say I'm pretty in the middle, but once the gun goes off, you know, I'm in my zone.
What do you think about when you're running? Like, how, okay, no, this is a better question. How do you split up your mile? Like, what are you thinking lap by lap?
Yeah. Back when I was racing in August, I think, because I actually went from a 409 to a 401, and I knew that I was, when I ran that 409, I knew I was in shape to run low fours for sure. I didn't think I was going to run 401. I was really hoping to maybe go under like 404. Realistically, I didn't think I was going to go that fast. But to be honest, I wanted to make sure I didn't go out too fast in those races to where I completely just died at the, you know, on the third lap or something like that. But I'd say kind of first 800, stick to a good pace. Third lap, you have to run a really solid, like one flat or under, you know, one flat. And then that last lap has to be like a good, you know, good amount under one. I think my splits were like, I think I was at like 04. I think it was like 04 going into my last lap. So I was at 304 in my when I ran 401, and I actually closed in like 57 or something like that, and it took off 3 seconds. So I was at 401 there.
Yeah. I mean, that is very impressive. When you're going through like these splits and say if you're not on pace, how do you not give up? Because I know a lot of people, you know, they have these mental blocks of maybe their race isn't going as well as they want, and a lot of people just start going out the back. But I've noticed like in a lot of, I mean, all the people I've been teammates with, like at the higher level, the key is consistency. Like even on days where you're not feeling good or the race isn't going as planned, like you're able to still run a good race and not give up. So how do you manage to do that?
Yeah, especially in those races. The thing that was nice about those races that I was doing back in August when I was running some really solid times is I had so many other people around me to where I didn't even care about the clock at that point. My goal was to be able to compete with those other guys, like, you know, beat that guy in front of you, beat that guy in front of you, that type of thing. So I kind of just threw the whole clock out. I don't even think I looked at it sometimes. And I knew that I would be able to run a fast time and maybe even get under four if I, instead of just worrying about the time the whole time, worry about the guys in front of you.
Yeah, good advice. The clock, it can be helpful, but it can also be your enemy at some point. Yeah, so I'm assuming you don't wear a watch when you race.
Yeah, no. The only time I've worn a watch is like either when I'm pacing someone or if I'm running a 32, I guess, but not all out.
Yeah. Do you train alone most of the time? Or, I mean, your teammate is really good too. Is that your teammate?
unfortunately for me, he's graduating this year, so he's going to be going to FSU. So I'm kind of without people right now. And the tough part with us being able to train together like consistently is he lives about 45 minutes away from me. So it's
Do you guys go to the same school?
Yeah, we go to the same school. Our school is pretty like, it's got a big radius, I guess, of people.
Yeah.
But they're building a high school out where he is. So but anyway, he's going to FSU, so it doesn't even matter. But yeah, that's the only tough part is it is hard getting to the track at the same time, stuff like that. But
so what are you gonna do next year?
We'll see. I don't know. I'll just wing it. Hopefully someone comes in or something like that.
Are you good at training alone? Like can you handle workouts?
I had been training alone for a really long time, like since I was 8. There weren't too many, like, I got to have friends going to practice with me, but once I got into middle school, I was kind of all by myself. So I think after a while, I built up that mental toughness. And yeah, the only thing I can really listen to is my dad calling out my splits on the track. So
yeah. Do you listen to music when you run?
Yeah, when I go out on long runs, I do. Okay.
What do you? what's pumping in your ear?
To be honest, I'll listen to anything. Sometimes I'll go on like, I got a couple friends that have Apple Music, so I'll go on like some of their playlists and listen. But at the end of the day, I'll kind of like switch around. I don't even know. I just listen to like random stuff.
You don't have a favorite? So you're telling me some death metal music will come on, you'd be like, okay.
All right. Not that. More like I like rap. That's like my thing. But anything in that kind of area, I guess you could say. Yeah. But I'll listen to like other stuff. Like I have a friend that like listens to like surfing bands or something like that. And sometimes if I'm bored, like I'll just throw on something like that.
All right.
Well, yeah. not what you just said though. I don't want that blaring.
Death metal. Okay. Yeah. Well, what are your goals? Obviously, like sub four is one, but a lot of people ask what your goals are for your senior year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely sub four would be a thing. And I want to place really well at one of the cross country national meets. So those would be my two big goals.
What has been your favorite meet of high school?
That's a good question. I think I have a lot of memories just back to Pepsi Florida Realize my freshman year. I ran 412 at that meet, and it was like a crazy meet because I feel like there are so many people that didn't expect me to do what I did. And when I came around like the last 200 meters, I was passing so many people, and like the top kid in the state was in that race, and I came up right next to him with like 40 meters to go almost, and my legs were completely gone at that point. And I don't know if you've seen the video, but my legs completely just give out, and I'm like falling to the finish line. And right when I fell, I was like laying straight on the line. So it was kind of cool, but that's definitely my favorite meet.
Okay. I definitely need to watch that. I don't know how I missed that. I literally watched like all your videos on YouTube yesterday and a bunch of random like flow track videos. So I don't know how that was the one I missed, but
I can send it to you. It's okay. Pretty fun. Yeah, it's a good video.
Yeah, that is funny.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is a fitness wearable that provides 24/7 personalized insights around your sleep, recovery, and daily activities. So whether you're running your first 5K or your 10th marathon, Whoop can help you train smarter and recover faster so you can get to the starting line healthy. I started wearing Whoop a couple months ago, and let me tell you guys, I did not realize how all over the place my sleep was until I started tracking it with Whoop. It's completely different from your standard GPS watch. It's focused on your body's recovery, and everyone knows that runners aren't always the best at taking off days or listening to their bodies or maybe getting enough sleep like me. So every day gives you a personalized recovery score based on things like resting heart rate variability, sleep, respiratory rate, so you can monitor the changes in your fitness. The app also has built-in features like the strain coach, so you can see how hard you're pushing your body every day and set goals based on your body's recovery. Overtraining and injury can be huge problems for basically every runner I've ever met, but Whoop can help reduce those risks by listening to the underlying factors affecting your performance. What I really needed was the sleep coach because it provides you with personalized sleep recommendations based on your previous night of sleep and how active you were over the course of the day. And you should know that a runner's best way to combat injury is by getting quality sleep. And I stand by that. Whoop is offering 15% off with the code COLDBREW at checkout. So go to Whoop, that's WHOOP.com, and enter code COLDBREW at checkout to save 15%. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to the starting line healthy with Whoop. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Why did you start your YouTube channel?
To be honest, I think it makes running for me more fun. And I also like being able to like give other runners a perspective on what I do and like what made me good and stuff like that. So I like that. And I also just like having a platform where people can like, I'll see in the comments sometimes that people will be talking to each other and stuff like that. So all of that kind of came together, and I was like, I'm gonna make a YouTube channel. So yeah,
you're creating a little community, and it makes it a lot easier to respond to people through instead of like DMs where you just get a ton of DMs. Like people can just look in the comments and either you already answer their question in the video, or you know, someone asked it in the comments and like you reply or someone else replies. I don't know, it's just a lot more interactive than something like Instagram is. But do you find it a lot like to be a lot of work?
To be honest, no. I know a lot of people that do think it's a lot of work. Like my girlfriend Grace, like she puts a lot of work into her videos when she was making videos back then. But I think with me, the most I will spend on a video at max is 20 minutes. I'll go into
20 minutes.
I'll go to
iMovie. Like even editing?
Yeah, all around. Like I'll have someone else film it for me, and I'll put all I do is I take the clips from my like Canon camera that I take, and I Bluetooth it into my images on my iPhone. I'll throw them into iMovie on my iPhone, and then I'll just start clicking away with my fingers, and I'll get it done in like less than 20 minutes.
What?
Yeah, and I'll screen record music on YouTube, and I'll convert it into like an MP3 app, and then I put the MP3 music onto the iMovie thing. It's actually a very quick process for me.
Man, and I'm taking notes because I need to speed up my process. I feel like mine takes hours, and I don't have good camera skills or editing, so I'm basically doing what you do.
My videos are choppy here and there. You'll see some like, oh, he messed up there at times, but that's what you get when you only take 20 minutes on your videos.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm pretty impressed. Like your videos are very entertaining. So what's your favorite video that you've put out so far?
I think I did like a Milk Mile one. I think that was pretty fun. Just because there's like just some funny stuff that happened. Like even when I rewatched, I like laughed out loud while I was watching. And then my sub-4 attempt one was also really cool because it showed like myself after the race.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna look back too in a couple years, and you're gonna like that you have these videos, because even I look back to some of my old videos, I'm like, I'm really glad I documented this just for my own personal sake, because it can bring you back in time, you know.
Yeah, it's like a journal almost, like, but like a virtual journal. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
well, a lot of people ask, like, are you looking to go pro or are you planning on going to college?
I get that question actually a lot. I guess what I always say is if the offer is there, you know, no one's going to decline like a fat chunk of money that someone would be throwing in front of my face. But at the end of the day, my goal is to go to college and compete for a team. And if the opportunity's there, obviously I'll take it. But you know, right now my number one goal is college.
Do you have any colleges on your radar that you want to share, or is that top secret?
I'm pretty open about it. I'd definitely say my the one I'm probably most interested in, but I'm still talking to other colleges. Like, I'm open, but I really like NAU right now.
I don't know why, but I kind of like was guessing that. Maybe it's your mullet, I don't know. Or maybe that's like more Ole Miss, I don't know. But I did see you wearing an Oregon shirt in a video, so I was like, maybe he's looking to be a duck.
Yeah, that's another one that's up there for sure.
Yeah. Hey, well, if you're looking, I mean, I'm completely biased, but if you're looking to be a good miler, I heard Oregon's a good place to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that like illegal? Am I supposed to not be telling you that? Like, is that violating NCAA rules? No, I'm not a coach, so I don't think fine.
It is. You're just like, yeah, you know, Oregon's cool.
Yeah, I'm just an Oregon fan. Go Dawgs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, another question I have for you. Why do you run? Like, what is your why?
I think, like, you know, obviously I was, like, given a talent and I want to use it. I don't want to just throw it away. There's that. And then also, I'm pretty good at it. So I want to go do what I was, you know, meant to do almost.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Do you want to have like a long career, or are you looking to stop after? Well, I'm assuming that you're obviously looking to go pro, but how long do you see yourself running for?
By career, you mean like the professional scene, right? Or just like hobby jogging too?
Well, I mean, I feel like every runner, like even I, you know, I retired after college, but I still consider myself like a runner. You know, you're always going to be a runner. So I'm mainly just talking about the professional side of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd like to have a long career. I know some like people that competed in the shorter events, they like transition over to marathons later on. I don't know if I would ever want to do that. I get pretty bored after a while of it. But you never know. It's going to, you know, what could happen. But I definitely want to just stay running. I think it's a good thing to, you know, keep you healthy and happy.
Yeah. For marathon, are you ready to run 100 miles a week?
No, not right now.
Well, I don't think you need to be right now. Are you a high mileage kind of guy? What does your mileage look like?
Well, right now it's, for the past 5 weeks it's been zero. But usually what I've been doing is around 55 to 60 miles a week.
Okay, that's fairly normal then.
Yeah, I based off what I've heard, like even high schools near me, that's about what they're doing, and yeah.
Would you say like you're more of a strength runner or a speed runner? Like, do you love the you know, tempo run grind, or do you like the short lactic acid track workouts?
Speed for sure. Yeah. I enjoy those. But I think if I was actually able to get down my strength more, I think I could become a very good runner.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you go to NAU, I feel like that'll be a lot of strength work for you. So, and if you already have the speed, I mean, that's a good position to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
and
sure.
That's, I mean, it's good that you're leaving things on the table too. Like, I feel like a lot of people in the high school generation, like, you know, they're maxing out of their capabilities and are doing everything possible. But I feel like you have a good head on your shoulders, even though you have been running competitively for so long. Yeah. Like, you're leaving things open to improve on. So.
For sure.
Okay. Well, there was like a lot of listener questions, so we can go through them because your fans really want to know these things about you. So the first question, who inspires you in the running world right now?
I'd say Jakob Ingebrand. I'd definitely say, just because he's been so successful at a young age, I've always wanted to kind of be like that. So, him.
Have you watched their YouTube TV show?
What is it? It's like I can't remember the name of it, but it's something like, it's not Keeping Up with the Ingebrands, is it? There's no way.
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
No, I don't know what the name of it is, but
I've watched it though. Yeah,
it's pretty funny. It's like a reality show. But I will say, like, I can go up and talk to anyone at a track meet, and I'm not really like intimidated at all. But I was at Pre-Classic in 2019, and I was like talking to, I don't know, Eric Jenkins or something. I don't know. And I just saw in the corner like Jakob and their dad and Philippe or whatever his name is, and I was like starstruck kind of, and I was like, I'm way too nervous. I'm not going to go up and talk to them because I feel like their dad would yell at me.
Yeah. He seems like an army, like, drill sergeant kind of guy.
Yeah. Okay, next question. What is the biggest thing that has helped you improve as a runner?
I'd say, obviously, to help me improve, I wouldn't have, you know, gone anywhere without my parents. And I definitely would say I started to see a lot of success and a lot of improvement when I got Tom Schwartz as a coach. So probably those two things.
What, like, part of the training do you think made the difference? Like, when you're switching to Tom Schwartz's training?
I would say with me, just higher mileage, because I used to do, like, literally nothing. I didn't even know what, like, a long run was until I got to high school. So I would definitely say the higher mileage part, but yeah.
Well, in one of your YouTube videos, you said that you'd never struggled with an injury before. Do you think that you jinxed it?
Maybe. The funny thing is, too, like, it wasn't even, like, running related. I messed it up playing football when I jumped up, and I, like, basically weakened the outside of it. And then since I weakened the outside of it, I was using more of the inside than usual, and then the inside got weak, and then that's what happened.
Did you know when you were playing football that that's what caused it?
I think I knew after a while. I'd gone to I wanted to make sure it wasn't a stress fracture, stress reaction type thing. So I went in and they got me x-rays or whatever. And they're like, no, you don't have this. So, like, do you remember if you were, you know, did you do anything to it? I was like, oh yeah, like a while ago I was playing football and I messed up the outside of it. They're like, oh, like, you have blah, blah, blah. They're like, you know, it'll heal soon. Don't worry. You just got to ice it. And I was like, all right, sounds good. But yeah.
Is it healing now?
Oh, yeah. I was able to run a race on it on Sunday. But the only tough thing is I hadn't been able to do any training leading up to that. So it kind of stinks. But it's getting better. Yeah.
Well, I feel like that just shows you that aqua jogging, you know, maybe we used to call it in high school, my teammates used to call it NT, the natural talent.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was the NT or maybe it was the aqua jogging.
Yeah.
That's funny. What is your favorite workout?
I guess I don't even get to do it that much, but if I ever have to do like some 200s, any workout where I finish off with 200s is usually a fun workout for me. So, but I think the one that's most beneficial to me is the when I do 1Ks on grass at like CV effort, which is 25 seconds slower than your 5K pace. I think just because I'm not so much a strength guy, if I ever do that, it definitely improves my running a lot more.
There you go. Working on your weaknesses. We'd love to see it. What are your ambitions in life?
I have no idea. I'm kind of just a kid. We'll see what happens.
Do you like know if you, I mean, if you do go to college, do you know what you would want to study? Do you have any interest in school?
Yeah, that no idea yet.
Running is my interest.
Yeah, well, I'll have to figure it out soon, so I'll eventually know.
You got some time, don't worry about it. What do you like to do besides running?
I guess I play some video games with my friends, and I'll go out and surf sometimes too.
How do you balance running, social life, and school?
I balance it pretty well.
Yeah. Do you like, are you good at time management?
No, because I wouldn't be doing my runs at ODOT 100. I don't really ever feel like running kind of gets in the way of other things that I want to do, really.
Yeah. Do you lift weights?
No. You can probably tell based on my videos and how I look, but I do not. I should probably get to doing that, though.
I mean, I think that's a good thing to leave for college a lot of the time. Unless you're super injury prone, I feel like lifting weights is something that you tackle in college a lot of the time. Again, you're leaving things on the table for you to do later. That's good for longevity. What does it take to run sub-4 in the mile?
I think it just has to be there. It's got to be like the perfect race for me in order to do it. I gotta obviously have to be in shape, and I have to put in the work before it. But it's also just got to be a day that where everything comes together.
Yeah. What are like your ideal conditions?
Obviously, in a race.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously the field would have to be way faster than me, and then just nice temperature, and I'd like it to be probably in the evening, but just not super early in the morning.
Yeah, we've gathered that information.
Yeah.
What are your favorite recovery techniques?
I'm not too good at this kind of stuff. I got my parents got me Normatec boots for Christmas. So I guess just go into those and I feel a lot better.
Where you have to put in minimal effort and all you have to do is sit on the couch.
Yeah, anything with minimal effort when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Do you do core? Yeah. I never did core either. Let's see. You asked yourself a question. Why is Westfly so raw? Do you want to answer that?
I guess I could. I didn't know this would ever come up.
Of course it was going to come up. Yeah, I said ask a question, and you asked yourself questions.
I think out of all the running teams and stuff like that, they just seem like the most energetic and most entertaining. So I think that's a pretty good answer to what raw.
I mean, they do like to stir the pot, I will say. Are you an alpha or are you a beta?
I don't know. We can ask Smolders that. I'd say he'd tell you I'm pretty alpha, though.
Okay, I'll ask him it later. All right. What is your next hairstyle?
I don't know. I'm definitely going to have to get rid of like the rat tail back here, but probably just trim this up and hopefully the side hair comes out over time. So just kind of go back to a more normal flow.
Why'd you decide on the mullet?
I think my hair was getting so long to where I was going to give it a haircut. So I was like, oh, you know, before I get rid of all of this, I might as well, you know, go with this. And a lot of people on my YouTube were saying, oh, you know, you got to get a mullet, stuff like that.
The mullet has become a very big trend. It's very, very interesting to see.
Yeah.
I forgot who I was talking to. Maybe I was talking to Craig Ingalls, but I feel like he advised everyone to get a mullet. At one point, I was even looking at female mullets to see. I was like, can I pull this off?
And then I was like, nice.
Yeah, I was like, no. Okay, well, the last question I have for you is, what is your advice to either your younger or your future self?
Advice to my younger or future self?
Well, both. Advice to your younger and advice to your future.
younger self would be just, I think I did a pretty good job of this, but like just kind of stay in love with the sport. Make sure you're doing it because you love it, you know? I don't really want to, you don't want to feel like it's a job almost, that kind of thing. And then for future self, I don't know how I give. Am I supposed to give advice to my future self?
Yeah, just like what are you going to keep reminding yourself down the road?
I guess just keep loving the sport, because if I love it, it's not ever going to feel like I'm going to be doing it for a reason, you know? So yeah. just love the sport, basically.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure like a lot of people probably already watch your YouTube channel and they've seen your videos, but where can people find you?
Yeah, so my name's Reinhard Harrison. It's kind of confusing to spell, but I'm sure if you try spelling it, you'll figure it out. But yeah, it's on YouTube. Search up Reinhard Harrison, you'll see my channel pops up. But thank you for having me too.
Of course. Well, to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was great, you know, talking to someone who is such a fantastic high school runner. It's always so unique to see people's perspectives on high school running, because obviously I was a decent high school runner, so it's fun. It's fun just to see people's perspectives change, and like, obviously Reinhard has a YouTube channel, so it brings me back to my high school memories and all the fun times I had as a high schooler, so I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we're rooting for Reinhard to break that sub-4 barrier. Yeah, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed today's episode or any of the episodes. Make sure to keep spreading the word with all of your favorite fellas. Follow at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod on Instagram if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes or submit listener questions. Or honestly, sometimes I just post like random motivational stuff on there, so go check that out. Thank you guys so much, and I'll hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.